Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Warren Feeney joined us, former Northern Ireland striker. He's working in Bulgaria now.
Been very successful. Rather well. Yeah, he's been great.
He joined us and told us about his championship win. Wayne Mardle, Hawaii 501, former darts player, now commentator and pundit, has got an excellent new book out. He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was great fun. Everyone, I think really high quality. I'm not saying the show is normally high quality, but today was special.
It was. And a brilliant story that you love from Jonathan Wilson, the journalist and author, esteemed football journalist and author. But in this case, he was talking about bird strikes, wasn't he?
He had quite the incident with a crow.
Yeah. We talked a bit of football, and here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Yeah, already excitement for the birthday spread. Sir Isaac Newton says it's 0-0, lads. Get into him. Prepared 87 says, I live for this. I would question your life choices.
Yeah.
Grumpy Neil, a slip up and you're right back into this. Natalie Sawyer's been in touch. No one ever feels comfortable with 17-2.
It's true.
And Barca Jim says, I hate to tell you this, but the only betting I could find on it is on the gains is what round will Max make an absolute howler and hand pull the game? Just had a wee fiver on round eight, even money.
Who will it be? What will be this? Every week there's one person, there's one name that whose photograph appears on the group that catches either one of us out, isn't there, normally? Eddie is the one that immediately... Dwayne Eddie did for you.
Dwayne Eddie did for me. It's always Sir Arnold Kumquat, the architect.
Would that be your book, Dwayne Eddie did for me? My years on the birthday spread?
My life is sort of that tedious that is pretty much the most exciting moment of my entire existence. Should we talk about... obviously that game was a shower for Tottenham last night, was it? And the Harry Kane applauding 10 people who'd hung around because the tie had told them to leave.
They couldn't even get that right. They said the players will come out and do a lap of honour, and then some people stick around, and then they say, well, have a safe journey home, and then a few of them have to come out, sort of rag bag of players have to come out for the few people. I mean, really?
They put them in the top tier, so they couldn't be close enough to the players to yell about how they felt about Daniel Levy? Also, the sponsors' banners would still be there. I mean, the most expensive ticket, sticking him in the top. I mean, it's sort of beyond tin-eared now, isn't it? It's mad.
I mean, the first thing to say is, what is the mindset of a team that plays on the front foot for 10 minutes, feeding off the biggest partisan crowd they've played in front of for 15 months? They score a good goal against a team with nothing really to play for. So instead of building on that, they retreat into their shells again. They get passive and they let the opposition get back into the game. But, players like Traore and Grealish, if you give them time on the ball, they'll get going.
I thought McGinn, Traore and Grealish were just... Especially McGinn and Traore, I thought, had brilliant games. And Nakamba played well as well, didn't he? But, look, Harry Kane's done this thing with Gary Neville, hasn't he? They're on a golf course. Harry Kane has a putter. Gary Neville has a sand wedge. So clearly, Gary Neville's in the bunker as they're going towards the green, and they're having quite a long conversation about Harry Kane's future.
Well, it tells us, Harry Kane is a better golfer than Gary Neville.
Absolutely right. And he does say, I'll have a good, honest conversation with the chairman. Ultimately, it's going to be down to me. And I was thinking this. I've just seen Lars Siversen tweet the same thing. Well, it isn't going to be down to him. I think they should do the decent thing, and if somebody has enough money, they should take the money. They should do it early and then plan again, get a manager, etc. But, I think that's the right thing to do, but Daniel Levy doesn't necessarily act like that, does he?
It did remind me slightly of I woke up one Saturday morning to the cover of the Times Sport with Luka Modric saying, I've had a lovely time at Spurs. Thanks to everybody. The fans have been great. I've really enjoyed myself there. But I'd like to go to Chelsea now. And I'm sure the chairman, who I get on very well with, will understand. Well, he had to stay for another year. And he didn't get that move to Chelsea. He obviously got a fairly decent move anyway to Real Madrid. But I think that there is a slight difference this time. I thought the attitude of the crowd last night, the fans, when he did that little lap of honour, they know, we know what this situation is. Because of the mismanagement of the football side of the business, we can't live up to his expectations. This guy's the England captain. He's a world-class player. He's given us far more years than any other player had a right to do. A lot of players who didn't care about the club would have been off 2 or 3 years ago. They would have seen the right. Certainly would have been off 18 months ago, they would have seen the writing on the wall that nothing was really going to change under this ownership. And it's got to that stage where almost the fans are saying, you know what, can't you stay? And, you know, can Harry Kane stay and Tottenham go? We've got to that. The way this structure at the club is at the moment, you all clear off, the board, everybody else, Harry stay and we'll stay with you. It does feel a bit like that. And their reaction last night, I think, tells you that they kind of understand where he's at. And
you've got to set him free. Set him free.
Well, if you're going to get an awful lot of money for him and then you've got a chance. But the trouble is, my biggest fear is that all the signs show that Daniel Levy and the current structure, you know, it needs a lot of surgery, but are they the right people to oversee it?
Well, they dig in and they don't sell him until 2 hours before the window closes. Then scramble around.
That's the other thing. So suddenly that money comes in when you can't spend it.
For Will Grigg.
Because he goes up in a cab to sign for Manchester City, but then goes and signs for Manchester United instead. You know, it'll be one of those. Once you've made that decision, and I know he'll bargain hard and he thinks he should leave it to the last minute, until the 31st of August. But then that's money that a new manager can't work with those players, can't bed those players in that you'll generate from that. If you're going to sell him. Because there is no point keeping him there to the last minute and not being able to use that money to get new players in or giving that manager the chance to work with a new player.
So. But I thought it was
interesting. You know it's going to happen. Well, you know it's exactly what's going to happen because it's the same pattern every time.
I liked his ambition, Kane, though. You know, I want to win trophies season in, season out. Fair enough. I want to score 50, 60, 70 goals a season. Yeah. 70? I mean, that would be quite... he would score a lot at City.
Yeah, he probably would score more than he did. There may be a lot of Tottenham fans saying, no, stuff it. He signed a contract. He's a pro. He earns a fortune. He's going to have to stay. But that wasn't the feeling you got from those 10,000 hardcore fans who were in there last night.
I agree. Let him go.
Their attitude may change when it's official. Their attitude... The only thing I would say is the timing of this. I mean, I thought you said... That was Sonny's... Probably Sonny's worst game for Tottenham last night. His touch was terrible. His passing was terrible.
I think he was pining.
I think that he had a chat with his mate 24 hours before and knew that his strike partner was off. I think he's quite an emotional character.
When our cat Sprog died, Willow pined, and a vet said, smoke salmon. And then Willow was absolutely fine. So we just need to get some smoked salmon for Hunmin Son.
Should we get smoked salmon? Well, that's the title of today's podcast. Some smoked salmon for Hunmin Son.
Honestly,
are you signing copies of that book?
Willow was very sad about Sprog. And then
I think he was pining last night.
I mean, I don't know
what Reguilon was doing.
I know.
Everybody's got their own way of pining. One is to shank in a spectacular
own goal. Just to be clear, I am a man of the people. Yeah. We didn't often feed our cats smoked salmon.
Yeah, right.
Normally whiskers. But Willow was absolutely fine the next day. So if Heung-min Son is feeling a bit sad...
Get yourself some smoked salmon. But the timing of it is interesting. You know, the season hasn't finished yet. And I'm sure Liverpool fans are thinking, oh, yeah, thanks. This thing comes out tomorrow, of course. I wonder if they're going to say it's a Gary Neville plot to put this full-length video out tomorrow where Harry Kane says, I want out. So Tottenham, who virtually down tools last night after a good 10-minute start.
But what a great 10 minutes. Take the 10 minutes. Leicester, that Bergwijn shot was good.
I mean, with respect, if Villa can nearly score 6 or 7 against you, how many can Leicester nearly? I mean, Leicester could get 9. Liverpool might not go into the Champions League because of the amount of goals Leicester score against Tottenham on Sunday. Seriously. I mean, they're wide open. Yeah. I mean, you saw that defence. It was disastrous. So, Liverpool fans, do not count your chickens, because if we play like we did yesterday, it could be double figures.
Here's a text. Afternoon, both. Is it wrong that it's my partner's birthday today? And the first thing that came into my head this morning from heavy sleep was the birthday spread.
Yeah, it certainly
I've tried to explain the tension to her, but she just doesn't get it. Hashtag she will never understand.
I'll give it 2 years.
I'll take your priorities.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now in the Daily Star, Wilson today. Aggressive crows have been terrorising joggers by dive bombing them in Portsmouth. The first thing I thought of was you, because you have experience of this.
Yeah,
Not
in Portsmouth. And yet again, there's this weary sense that when these stories happen in the north, they get ignored. I think it was five years ago. It was around this time of year. So I'm assuming it's something to do with nesting seasons, that maybe crows are more aggressive this time of year. Anybody who's done the Great North Run, you may remember, it's about a mile from the finish. You go down a very steep bank past the Marsden Inn and then turn left along the seafront. Well, I come from the other direction and I turn left up that bank and then turn left to go up the hill, up Lizard Lane. So you've got the quarry on your left and the sea beyond that. And crows nest in that quarry. And as I was going up this hill, and there's a housing estate, and then I think it's a horse riding school and a golf course. So there's the housing, and then it becomes sort of open. As I got to that open bit, suddenly felt something clatter the back of my head. And I sort of thought some local kid had chucked something at me. That was what it felt like. It was a real sort of weighty clip. And I looked around, and nobody about. So I keep running, and then I hear the wings. I hear this thing swooping down, and so I see this, like, you know, a Nazgul, this dark shape swooping out of the sky. And I feel the claws in the back of my head.
God.
And I'm sort of shouting and swearing, and I'm lashing out with my hands. And I can see a bus stop. It's a brick bus stop. It's about 20 yards away. So I think if I can get there, it won't be able to get under. So I'm running, sort of ducked down, like thrashing at this thing. And it had a third swoop. And I go into this bus stop, and there was an old bloke there. Must have been, I don't know, late 70s, early 80s. And I remember him just looking at us going, "Oh, he doesn't like you, does he?"
Did the crow attack you again? Have I made that up? I thought the same crow had attacked
in a
you.
Restaurant in London. And then twice again on holiday in France. Yeah.
Well, there are two further instances, you're right. So I think it was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks later in the same place. And it didn't actually attack me, but it swooped over me. A crow, I can't say for sure it was the same one. But then there's a very strange thing happened to me in Southwest London. This is probably only last year. When I was on a platform at a railway station, and suddenly this squirrel lands really awkwardly about a foot from my foot. And it looks really dazed and startled and quite hurt. And then eventually it scuttles off. And I look up, and there in the tree is a crow looking at me. I think the crow had forced the squirrel off a branch to hit me. So I think you know,
it's,
I know
a weapon.
This sounds...
He's using the squirrel as a weapon.
Exactly, yeah. I know this sounds slightly bonkers, but I think the word's gone out among crows.
Yeah,
Wilson, he's not one of us. Go for him.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well,
thanks, Wilson.
We'll get you back. We'll monitor some more crow attacks. Jonathan, thanks very much.
Yeah, and just, you know, to listeners, if you see a crow, be careful. They are dangerous.
Yeah, it sounds
I know we're laughing about it, but, you know, they left scars. But, yeah, it's scratched my head.
They're big. They're fearsome-looking
they
birds. You've got sharp beaks. Yeah. No, I mean, that's sort of wise words.
I am just laughing, though, Wilson.
If you take nothing away from today's show apart from that, well, that'll be good. Jonathan, thank you. There we are.
Cheers, thank you.
Jonathan Wilson, they're attacked by crows.
Anyone else has been attacked by a crow?
Yeah, is it? I mean, have you had the same thing? This is one crow that clearly follows him around the country, occasionally dropping squirrels on his head.
A squirrel as a grenade.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
Jonathan Wilson squirrel grenade. That's another possible. But smoked salmon for Hugh Minson, I think, is going to be the title of today's podcast.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Max Rushton here on Talk Sport. Wayne Mardle joins us, Hawaii 501, of course, golf commentator. Golf? Dance.
He is. It's an interesting choice. I was surprised when Sky gave him the gig, but, you know, Ewan Murray wasn't doing the job, and so they went,
they
come on, Wayne.
For Wayne. Darts commentator, of course, and former darts player will be joining us to chat about his very entertaining new book. His second very entertaining new book on the world of darts. His first was an absolute corker. This is, it's funny, self-deprecating, but it's informative. There we are. Put that on the cover. Sounds a bit dull, but that's what it is.
CJ says, listening to this fella, Jonathan Wilson, being targeted by crows on Hawksby and Jacobs, including a crow using a poor, unsuspecting squirrel as ammunition, is the best 5 minutes of radio I've ever heard. Give the people what they want. Not a crow, but a seagull attacked me in Bath, made off with my sausage bap.
Oh, the seagulls there. You know,
Jill says, when I was 8, I got attacked by a magpie as I had a silver scrunchie in my hair. It was the 80s, she says. Yeah. But I couldn't remove it, and it got its claws stuck in my hair. I panicked, flapped wildly, grabbed my head, it got free, taking a big chunk of my hair and the scrunchie. But like, Wilson's not unique.
When you see someone tucking into a bag of chips or a burger or a sausage bap in this case, on a pier at the seaside, do you not? You should say, you know, that seagull's going to have that at your hand, mate. Mm. I mean, you feel like you should say something. It's just, it's a daft.
They're dangerous.
They are, yeah. I mean, I don't know why people still do it. Anyway, let's head to Bulgaria now. And we've been talking about Tottenham needing a big turnover of players. Imagine having an overhaul squad, moving 30 players on and bringing 19 in. Well,
there's one man who can do it.
Yeah, Warren Feeney has won promotion for FC Pirin in Bulgaria. He's the former Northern Ireland striker, and he joins us now. Good afternoon, Warren.
Good afternoon. You okay?
Good. Yeah. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
We said we'd get you on if you did it. We'd have got you on anyway, Warren, to commiserate, but you've done it. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're delighted, to be fair. We've done it with 3 games to go, and then we're wrapped with the league title up with 2 games to go. So, I'm only recovering because, you know, the Bulgarians can party, but I don't think they realise how the British can either, you know. So, I'm just recovering.
So you did have to do it, then you had to move a lot of players on, bring a whole new bunch of players in a market that you probably didn't know that well. I mean, that must have taken some doing.
Yeah, it was. Look, I come over for a week and I had a look. There was 27 players running around, and the times they trained at, I just couldn't get. There was 7 o'clock one night, 2 o'clock the next day, 5 o'clock, and I'm sitting going, this isn't for me. But I looked at the caliber of the player and I thought, I need to go quality over quantity. So my first week, I got rid of 7 players. And then over the next 6-7 months, I brought some in, actually, to do a job for me, and then got rid of them. So I got rid of 30. As I said, you got to be ruthless. But I brought in the right characters, players who, you know, who had played abroad, 2 played in England. They're actually Bulgarian. And very, very good players. And then I looked around the players who had been in the top league or going for promotion, but obviously done a lot of homework and made a lot of contacts over here. And, you know, the hardest thing was getting them into my methods, but the players who played in England knew totally my fitness levels, what they expect. And, you know, I built a pre-season around 50-plus games, what I was used to, not the 30 games they're used to in Bulgaria. And it worked, touch wood, it worked.
It was a bit touch and go at one time, Warren, wasn't it, early doors, because the crowd were a bit restless. They were thinking, oh, we'd done the right thing here, getting this Irish fella in.
Fancy foreign coaching.
Yeah, and so there was a bit of that, but you know, with results and everything else, you turned them round.
Yes, no, you know what? I still get it, to be fair, because they don't like a change. They like the local, you know, Bulgaria, the way we do it, and I just thought, you know, and the good thing was, I don't do social media, but probably I can understand a little bit and speak it, but the language, and I didn't buy into it, don't get me wrong. There was times where, you know, they didn't see what I was trying to do, and I said it would take time, but I'm not one of them to let anyone affect me. I don't, you know, I believe in what I was doing, and, you know, they had a flag at Northern Ireland at the last game.
Oh, brilliant.
With an appreciation, so... As I say to you, look, it's good, but now the hard work starts now for what will be a very, very good season next year, and one that if Alan Pardew, Mr. Pardew, still there, I've told him already I would like an expensive bottle of wine because I just won the cup last night.
He's CSKA, isn't he?
I do like the idea that if you're going to get dogs abuse on social media, say, well, look, it's in Bulgaria and I haven't got a clue. Like, you could be saying anything. It could be love letters for all I know. Yeah. For those of you who haven't followed this story, you know, in your career religiously, Warren, how the hell do you end up there?
You know what? As I said, when I was in England, I always based in honesty. And I got to the point where I just couldn't stick the stuff that goes on in England sometimes in the coaching. And I went, look, I'm going to move back to Northern Ireland, move my family and you know, it's just, I don't like it. It goes on, but I just don't accept it. I'd rather people be honest and have fallouts, but I don't hold grudges. And so I come back home, got a phone call and said, look, would you like to go to Bulgaria? And I went, Bulgaria? And I went, what? And I went, look, I'll not say no. And I was out here with Luton with Mike Newell in 2005, and we were in the championship. And it's a big, big difference. But I come out, I've got fantastic owner who's based in America, Paul, and he's American-Russian. And look, people think that he's financed it, lots of money, but we haven't. You know what I mean? It's, yes, he's got Emirates wealth and he owns a Blur properties, but it's not what it is. You know, our budget was probably 2 or 3 in our league. It's just that, you know, I brought in quality and spent my money in the right areas where I needed to. And as the stadium, look, we've got the rewards, and now we're up with the big hitters, and one that I'm looking forward to. You know, he's already rang me twice, the boss, and I've had to cut him off today because I've been on other phone calls, and so I'll be back on to him now, looking for an extra few quid to get a few more players in.
Yeah. Well, what difference does it mean to the club being in the top division? Is there a massive? I mean, is there a massive leap between the second division in Bulgaria and the top division?
There is, and obviously you're in with the CSK, the Ludogorets, and I think Ludogorets' budget's somewhere between 22 to 25 million euros. CSK's is the same, Levski's, and you know we're in. Don't get me wrong, it's probably harder in our league that we were in, but when you go up there, you've got, it's a lot more open. You know, the teams want to play football. You've a lot. I think the top four teams, 60-70% of them are all foreigners outside Bulgaria. There's Brazilians, Portuguese, Dutch. So, you know, you're going into a league that will be totally different, but one that, you know, it's massive for the club. You know, the fans, was a sellout the other night whenever we lifted the trophy, and one that, look, I'm, you know me, where I'm from, not, I don't fear anything, and one that I'm looking forward to. You know,
Harry Kane could be on the market if you're looking for a striker.
You know what? I could say to the boss, go and get this guy, and he would say, no disrespect to the boss, as he's into the American football, he would think you've actually a chance of getting him.
That would be. I mean, Harry said, you know, he wants a challenge.
You know what? For me, and I tell my boys and the young boys in the club, for me, he's a phenomenal striker. You know, He's like the old Alan Shearer, being honest, but also he can drop in those areas. But what I love about him, he gets across the front post. It's very, very hard to see strikers now get across the front post.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not a Spurs fan, but look, he's been very loyal to Tottenham. And I'm sure he wants to go and win things. Top players want to go and win things. And look, no disrespect to them, but he obviously sees it now is the time that he wants to go and try something else, you know?
You should just say, like, he's not going to fit into the style. It's not Feeney ball. He doesn't fit into that style of football. He's not going to work for me.
Not your kind of player.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, he's not mine. I've got a striker who scored 18 goals this season, so you've got a chance to shift him for it.
Well done, Warren.
Well done, mate.
All the best.
Thank you. Cheers.
There we are, Warren Feeney there over in Bulgaria, getting Pirin promoted into the top division. Takes on Super Alan Pardew now. Yeah.
Here is a text. Sorry, Paul, regarding the seagull. I was in Bath, about 30 miles from the nearest coastal pier. How much further should I go to be safe next time?
So, that's true. I mean, you're not safe anywhere, but that's the inland seagull. He's even bolder.
Yeah, they are.
The
urban seagull.
I mean, Brighton Pier. I mean, you know, don't eat chips on Brighton Pier. Just ask him for trouble. You know, they're a law unto themselves, aren't they? They're the size of a
small
boy.
Car.
I mean, they are. I mean, they're enormous, aren't they? They're fearsome looking creatures.
It's true.
We've let them get bolder. Hitchcock was right. The crows, the seagull. I don't know what the answer is, but we're watching this bird life get bolder. Oh, I don't know why that is.
I blame the government.
Well, my producer tells me quite loudly in my ear we now need a golf update with Sean O'Brien. Okay. So let's cut off all of this crow chat. Sean, you ever been attacked by a large bird?
I'm afraid not. Okay. I hear they're quite dangerous, though. I've been
Definitely, yeah. But anyway, talking of eagles.
Oh, very good.
Forget it. What's happening in the golf?
This isn't your first rodeo, is it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton, birthday spread coming up in the final hour. Now, I'm not blowing smoke up his backside because we've said this plenty of times on the show. When Andy and I are asked about great sporting autobiographies, we often mention Wayne Mardell's book, Hawaii 5-0. In 2006, he wrote it. And it was a great read because it really gave you an insight into what life was like as a jobbing darts player travelling around the country, the cheap hotels, the exhibitions. Some of that insight remains, or a lot of it, in fact, and has been added to by Wayne in his new book, Slinging Arrows, How Not to Be a Professional Darts Player. And he joins us now. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Hello, fellas. How you doing?
Yeah, good. You've done it again, because, again, reading the book, there's an awful lot of stuff that you don't know. That's all you ever want to find out. You often think, well, what's it like being a darts player? You know, what's it like? And I think you kind of cover. There's very few things in here that you don't really cover, telling the story of what it's like to be on the road and playing as a pro.
Yeah, I've kind of tried to put across what it's like behind the scenes and what a few of the players are like, and the pitfalls, the things to look out for and what not to look out for. That's why it's called Sling Arrows, How Not to Be a Professional Darts Player, because I've come across a load of times, whether it's been you've done a job and you've not been paid for it because the contract was a bit iffy, or I've sworn on numerous of times in front of camera. There's one, if you want to have a look on YouTube, it's called Why Wasn't I Told? Basically, I go into an array of expletives. It's amazing how many you actually know. And it's amazing how many you can actually fit in the space of about 30 seconds. And I go through kind of the money that the players will earn now and what we earned back in the day, the legends of the game like Eric and Bobby, and how their Bobby George and their legacy kind of lives on. The travel, of course, and booze. How that's played a part in the sport, health, and should I say that to the detriment of our health and fitness, as in the lack of it. I've tried to cover bases that people really haven't spoke about in darts in depth. So I'm hoping that the reader and the listener, because it's on audiobook as well, I hope they enjoy it.
I've written the word booze amongst the sort of top three questions I wanted to ask Wayne, because I was doing some filming at Ali Pally, and I went into the, you know, where the darts players warm up, and it was like sort of the day after a house party when you're 17. There was a sort of like an empty bottle of Malibu and two half bottles of, you know, some pretty strong drinks in there, and it sort of blew my mind. I'd heard those rumours, but I didn't think that really, you know, the elite of the elite are up there having had a skinful.
You used to have, I remember I saw you, Wayne, at the Worlds 1 year, and you were telling me every, and I think Eric and others had said the thing, every, because it's effectively a pub game and you learnt the skills playing in the pubs, you all had a level, you all had, wasn't yours like a couple of glasses of white wine that got you perfect? If you had three, you were no good. If you had one, you were no, but you just, you all knew your level.
Yeah, it's dying out the last 2 or 3 years. Look, they're playing for millions now. They're not playing for like I was, when it was like 30 quid and a Pontins voucher. It's a bit different to that now. But it still goes on. And I'm not going to brush it under the carpet and say that none of the top players drink, but it really is a relaxant. It makes you less inhibited. And that's absolute fact. And I've kind of spoken about that in the book, and the pitfalls, the perils of it. And players need to know that if they want longevity, they've got to watch themselves, because to the detriment of their health and everything else, it's not good. It's really not good. But yeah, Max, when you come into the players' room, it used to be a lot more frightening than that, let me tell you.
Yeah, I bet. No, it just really did surprise me. One other thing I really love in this book is you talk about, you know, getting an email address and then just firing off emails to Rolex and Adidas and anyone else you could think of saying, I'm quite good at darts, will you give me some money?
Yeah, well, there was always a point when you're on your way up and you kind of know you're going to get there, because you're already making huge strides, and I had very little sponsorship, and it's not that I kind of didn't fancy my own chances paying for travel, whether it be to Vegas or Canada or Singapore, wherever we were going. Didn't fancy paying out my own pocket. It was, I'd rather spend someone else's money doing that. And I just, do you know what? I just tried my luck. I wanted these big, call it blue chip conglomerates coming in. And unfortunately, darts is still not getting hold of these huge sponsors. We had one interested a couple of years ago, SAP, who you might recognise. They've sponsored Ernie Els since the year dot. He's always had SAP on his hat. And they were really making strides, but then the clientele changed within the company and they've taken a back seat. But these big uns, these big hitters of the business world, we still need to get them involved in darts because, you know, guys, it's a massive sport now, isn't it? It derives from the pub, we know that, but it's becoming something far, far attached from that.
Yeah. You used to be asked the questions after a defeat or a win from ex-players and stuff, and you're now asking some of the questions, and you tell a little tale of Phil the Power, don't you, really, when you put... He took exception, didn't he, to something you... a question you asked
him. Yeah, to be honest, if you was to say to Phil, "Hi, Phil, how are you?" He could take exception to that. So let me... hello, how dare you? How dare you? I had my punditry hat on working for Sky Sports, as you know, and I just basically said, "Phil, you've looked really cool, calm, composed, and you've played some decent stuff, but Kevin Painter riled you and you were outplaying him at the time. Why was that?" And he just felt the need to become slightly aggressive. And I'm thinking, don't swear at me, pal, but in my ear, what you don't know is that my director was saying, "Right, just leave it. Just leave it." And I'm thinking, I can't leave this. So it's kind of, "No, Phil, I'm just asking you a question." "Leave it, Wayne, leave it." "No, right, Phil, I'm asking you a question." And honestly, it was actually quite funny because at one point, as he stood up to leave, I'm thinking, is he going to punch me? That would be quite funny. And in my own mind, it's like, "Go on, punch me. I'll take you to the cleaners, Phil. I'll take everything you got." But look, now I've got that that position with Sky Sports, being punditry and commentary. I now have no current darting friends.
But no,
it really is quite funny.
Yeah, it is great fun. As I said, there's some brilliant, even down to the amount of travelling you've done over the years. You've even got your favourite motorway services have to put in there. So we'll have
to
check
it T Bay? It's always T Bay.
You want to give us your number one? No. We won't give them all away.
Ah, Peterborough.
Really?
On the A1.
Really?
Wow. See,
what sets it apart?
How things have changed. Well, I'll tell you what sets it apart. First off, the A1 have done away with about 93 roundabouts.
Yeah.
So that's the first positive.
Well, they've done away with a lot of little chefs and turned them into quite specialist shops these days, Wayne, haven't they? I don't know if you stop off quite as much as you did for the Olympic breakfast, as they've become other sorts of shops,
right,
haven't
see.
They, really? They seem to have bought a job, lot of them.
Yeah, that's right. But what also sets it apart, once I get to the actual services, is that the M1's always busier than the A1, and they run parallel to each other.
Mm.
But the sheer layout and comfort of Peterborough services, whatever you want, you will get in there. You will get a steak to noodles. You'll get a fatty burger to what's not a fatty burger, if that even exists. There's a Waitrose in there. There's all sorts, but the seating, it's not this plastic stuff that makes you uncomfortable in minutes. They don't want you out. They don't want you out. They want you comfortable spending money. And do you know what? I even go up the A1, even when I'm going west. And it's just so good. It's so good.
Only way to Truro to go and get. Brilliant. Well, look, Wayne, it's a
Cheers,
lot of
Wayne.
Fun. All the best with the book. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Wayne Milder's book, Slinging Arrows, How Not to Be a Professional Darts Player. It's a romp. It's really, really good. It's very funny, and we highly recommend it. Not all his fellow pros, as he said, will particularly thank him for some of the stuff, but it's a really brilliant read, as the last book was. So and so there we are, Peterborough. I'm going to go and check it out.
Now, I don't go to Peterborough, you know, mainly for Adrian Durham
reasons. Exactly. Made it sound like Cheers, didn't he? Brilliant.
Half empty bottles of Malibu, says Michael. Some pretty strong drinks. Is this the most middle class thing Max has said on air? Oh, that's a tough line.
That's
the bar
true,
is
yeah,
high
yeah.
for that.
Do a top 10 easy.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I think we can squeeze in one quick animal attack. Wasn't there one that took your eye?
Oh, well, Mark in Sheffield, not quite an attack, but hi, no. Paul and Max. Many years ago, I was golfing with my old man, who was a big smoker. As he went on the tee mid-round, he took a deep drag and flicked his cigarette to the side. As he was about to hit his shot, a magpie attracted to the glowing cigarette end flew down, picked up the cigarette, flew into the tree behind us. It was cartoon-like, looking at this magpie with a lit cigarette in its mouth. Eventually flew off, fag still in his mouth, just smoking away, a golfing memory with the old man. Thanks, Mark.
I mentioned earlier on, you see people wandering down Brighton Pier or other piers are available with a bag of chips or a sausage or whatever, and you think, they not know about seagulls. And I'm surely people warn them. Stu says, I live in Brighton. We never warn out-of-towners about the seagulls. Far too entertaining to watch the tourists have their chips, donuts and ice cream violated. When in Rome, keep your sausage bap tucked down of sight.
Steve says, talking of big birds, this thing tried to steal my pint in Gosport a few years ago. It sent me an enormous picture. I mean, is that a gull of a pint as well? I know, that's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd let him have it if I was you. He's enormous, isn't he? Anyway, keep those coming. Bird attacks mainly. We don't need not more than that. Although we've got a giraffe coming up.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Just to say that right in front of me, Paul ran out of the studio and he's come back and he's just taken a pill of some sort. Is that a birthday pill? What is this? Do you need a drug test afterwards?
It's, I'll give you, blood or urine, whatever you want.
Okay.
It's a
EPO?
It's called paracetamol. Have you heard of those before?
Getting your excuses in early, are we?
I have a cold.
I need to bang on about it.
Fight off. I've mentioned it twice in about 5 days. So, Bants, pre-tournament Bants.
CJ says, if my calculations are right, Max could level the birthday spread series just in time for the start of the 21-22 Premier League season. And if that's not the sort of sporting excellence he wants to see you through the summer months, I don't know what is. Forget the Euros, the comeback is on.
Well, let's find out. 10 birthdays, we've both got to guess the ages. Andy Jacobs has worked out the birthdays. He's got the gags to go with them. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon, boys. And see, we now follow the moose, which is a shame, because I like winding him up by overrunning.
Yeah. No, he's
I like that too, Andy.
He changed his slot. And Jeff Peters is our official scorer. Good afternoon, Jeff.
There we go.
He's got the FA Cup in the office, I can see.
He's balancing the plinth on his head. Yeah.
Can I just say thank you to Andy in particular for his very gracious message on Saturday night. That was very kind. Obviously, they got the revenge on Tuesday, but
it's very unusual.
That was very kind of you, Andy. Thank you. It was an amazing day, and I've got my voice back.
Stuart says, come on, Max. I've told the boss I've got a flat tyre so I can pull over and listen. #17.3. And Max says, do it for Wes Houlihan. It is Wes Houlihan's birthday today. So there we are. Happy birthday, Wes.
Happy birthday, Wes.
38, 39, don't know.
Wessie. Okay, let's do it then. Max, because your loser kicks off, so you'll kick off today. Okay. Take it away.
Yes, and the first birthday, believe
Pele?
It or not, I
Where's
don't know how
Pele?
He is.
Pele's going. He's going. Yeah.
Get off. Really, honestly. Have some decorum. Anyway, the first birthday today is, I don't even know how he's in this, certainly not more famous than any of us. It's talk radio presenter James Max.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I know. For the past 19 weeks, James
I saw him
has played
he was
a
in
city.
The building, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he works for Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
For the past 19 weeks, James has played a silly little parlour game with a big Spurs fan who most weeks absolutely thrashes him. Yes, Max is losing 17-2.
<Hey. laughs> James Max. Is he the lad who was in The Apprentice about 100 years ago? Is that what I'm thinking of anyway? I just shouldn't give you any clues.
Squarehead.
Squarehead.
Bit harsh.
All right, there we go.
But not really.
it's a bit late now, Andy. He said it. I think James Max is about 51.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right. Although, unless Andy had told you it was, you could have guessed quite wildly there. So I think he gave you a bit of a leg up. I'd say he's probably similar. Yeah, I'd say he's 50. 5-0 blind 50. Happy birthday to him. What is he?
A fine start by both of you. He's 51.
Oh, okay. So
It's a direct hit for Max. What a great start. It's Paul 1, Max 0.
Okay.
Okay. Happy
coattails. Coattails.
Yeah, here we go.
Of course. Happy birthday to the great actor Tim Roth. And for life tips, I always swear by Tim's advice manual for blokes, the Rothman's Guide.
Oh, it's very good, yeah. He's one of these guys that still looks very young, but he's probably older than he looked because he's been in the business for a long time. So I'd say he's 54. What would you say he is? Would you go a bit younger than that?
Well, no, I'd written a bit older than that, actually. But I...
what? No, it's all right. I'm just looking at Max. I just thought... Because he does look very young, doesn't he?
Getting in his head.
What do you think? I think he's about... I'm going to say 57.
Okay.
What is he?
He's 60, actually.
No.
A lot older than he looks, yeah.
Wow, I'd written 62, but playing it safe.
Well, okay, fair enough. Okay. What's that done to the scores?
Paul 7, Max 3.
Okay,
interesting start.
Focus here, Max. Come on.
Yeah, okay. This is. But I should tell the listeners, you've just. This is the margin of errors. We're getting these wrong so many years. The ones we get wrong, and then that builds up. And the one with the shortest margin of error.
They don't understand the game. There's not a lot of hope for them,
honestly,
is there?
What was the point of that? You've got
to spoon feed people now and again. Oh,
I believe in the audience.
Okay.
Yeah, me too. That's ridiculous. Okay, it's the singer and songwriter.
A birthday, by the way. I'm sorry. Birthday, by the way, is the day you were born. Just to clear that up for you.
Andrea Corr.
We shouldn't gang up on him. Andy, we shouldn't gang up on him.
No, he doesn't like it.
I'm a touch bullied at the moment. That's all I can do.
He's going to take it out on me tomorrow. <wouldn't mind.
laughs> I'm on the beach tomorrow.
Andrea Corr.
Is it me?
Andrea Corr,
the singer and songwriter. Andrea Corr. Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Andrea Corr, yes. What's going on? When I was driving a minicab, I dropped John Lydon off by our house. Yes, it was rotten to the core.
That's very good.
Yeah. Now, the cores, right.
The cores, yeah.
The cores.
Remember, they meant to take in the troops in the Second World War, the
cores? I reckon Andrea Corr is 47.
Yeah, I'll go 48.
47? Max, have you had a sneak preview of my list?
No, I haven't at all. I promise.
Not smelling a rat. You're not even a good cheat, too. Max.
I get them all right.
Not even a good cheat.
Two direct hits for Max in the first three.
He's been
reading the Times.
It's just going to be worse when I lose.
It's Paul 8, Max 3. Yeah.
It's a hollow victory. That's all I'm saying. you're cheating nobody but yourself and the listeners.
Do you think I could sleep at night if I cheated at the birthday?
No, the fact is he couldn't, so we know he's not cheating.
Hang on, drive starts at 4, remember?
Oh, okay. Keep going, quick. Go on then.
That's a good point. Happy birthday to the great former gymnast, Olga Corbett. And not a lot of people know, but after Olga retired from gymnastics, she formed a comedy sketch duo with Olga Barker, the two Olgas.
The two Olgas. Rushes. Yeah, it's a good night from her.
There was a joke in there somewhere, wasn't there? Yes, you know.
Olga Corbett, 65.
66.
Oh, she's 66. I'm not happy with this at all. Something's going on here.
Yeah, this is it's a bit smelly.
Yes.
This.
Yeah, there's something that's three direct hits out of four for Max.
although,
to be fair, he does do often the one either side. So,
true,
so Paul is on 9 and Cynical. Max is on 3 after 4. It's an incredibly tight game. Brilliant guessing.
I still have no confidence, even though I've got three direct hits out of four.
Here we go.
Okay, a very happy birthday to the chief executive of United Business Media from 1996 to 2005, Lord Clive Hollick. And one of his siblings was a boxer, and the other siblings used to attend the usually attended the weigh-in, which was always disputed by the Hollicks. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Thank you.
He ain't heavy.
Nice.
Oh yeah, here we go. Well,
if I get this right, then if I get this right, then I'll happily even though I'm not, I will admit to cheating.
Okay.
He is 85.
Okay, I'd say he's a bit younger, 77.
76. It's all back on.
Had you heard of him?
No, I'd never heard of him, no. I'm just thinking of his years and the name Clive. I'm thinking, how old would a bloke, would he be in his 80s? He could have been. Clive
what
of India.
The name of he's Clive?
Well,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, anyway, I just...
Well, it worked for you. Well done.
Well, I've got a system which doesn't involve me reading them out of the paper. So,
okay, it's now Paul in the lead. 10 to Max's 12 serious? At the halfway point.
Wow. 10 to 12, okay, fair enough.
Okay, very happy birthday to the actress or actor Deborah Winger. Deborah Winger. Yes,
yeah.
Her whole family has found work hard to come by in the pandemic. Nobody uses wingers anymore.
Oh, yes, it's a shame. Yeah, we had Pat Nevin on yesterday. He was a big fan. Mm-hmm. So, do you know who Deborah Winger is, Max?
No, not really.
Would you have known who she was?
Nah.
Oh, that is...
Heard the name.
Okay.
I must say, I can't picture her either.
No. 68.
69.
66.
Okay, that's fine.
I knew that was going to happen. I was so... Why didn't Deborah Winger fall for you? It could have been a game changer. Yeah. What would you have said if you had the first guess?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. That doesn't even mirror the material.
What's the score,
it's like when
Jeff?
They play the end of Deal or No Deal after... I've taken the money, Noel. I don't want to carry on now. You carry. True. You make a different TV show.
Okay.
We are through six rounds, and the scoring is incredibly low. Paul, 12. Max, 15.
Okay.
Come on,
here we go.
Ooh, it's tight. Marcus. It's very tight. Okay, it's the singer and songwriter. I can't say I've ever heard of him. Well, I have, really. Dick Gorn. And even with my terrible
memory...
I wonder
where this joke's going. It's not a unit gag, is it?
No. Even with my terrible memory, I never... even with my terrible memory, I never have a problem remembering his entire back cock...
back catalogue is what you're looking for, isn't it?
That was the word I was searching for. Yeah. Bit like my career. Gone but not forgotten.
Yeah, I
wasn't expecting Andy to be so just our lowest common denominator.
No. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Okay. Dick Gorm.
Dick Gorm, this could be a problem, everybody.
Yeah.
Dick Gorm is 80.
Gorm. Not Gorm. Gorn.
Well, either way, Gorn. He's 80.
He's 80. That's a really good guess,
thanks.
Actually.
Don't patronise me.
No, it is a good guess. I would have said something very similar. 78.
73.
Oh, sorry, Dick, if you're listening.
Sorry, Dick.
Forerunner to...
You're sorry.
Forerunner to Where's Wally? Where's Dick Gorm? That's what it was called. Yeah. So what's the scores?
Andy's gag took about a minute there. Gorn in 60 seconds. Right, nice. It's Paul 17, Max 22. 5 minutes, 3 to play.
Okay. 17, okay. 22. Here
could
we go.
Have been worse.
Yes, he's the astronomer from the Astronomer Royal for Scotland from 1980 to 1990, Professor Malcolm Longair. He grew up with Cilla Black. I don't know if you know that. He even went out with her for a while. He was a long air lover from Liverpool.
Very good. You say 1980 to 1990 he did it?
Yeah,
he was just 14. The long air years.
Wow, yeah. And wow, he's got to be getting on, hasn't he? You'd think. 91.
88.
This could be a biggie, this.
80, he's only 80.
Wow.
He was quite young when he did it. Mm.
Yeah, young lad. Doogie Howser.
So there's now only two in it. So it's Paul 28, Max 30. So two in it.
What a game.
Two
Someone's going to go for it. Someone's going to go for it. Here we go, number nine.
Okay, the songwriter, Nicky Chinn. And my best mate, we were always arguing about the merits of his songs, which I really like. When it turned into an ugly fight, I had to knock him clean out. I love a bit of chin music.
Yeah.
Nicky Chinn,
yeah.
Didn't he play for Coventry?
Oh, yeah. You've got to have a system. Nicky Chinn, Mickey Jinn, haven't you?
That's Jinn. Yeah, exactly.
So how old is Mickey Jinn? And then add 10. That's where I'm...
Is that you using the Mickey Jinn?
I use the Mickey Jinn method with most birthdays, and I'm 17-2 down. 61.
I think he's a bit older than that. He was songwriter, Chin and Chapman, famous songwriting duo.
Oh, well, here we
I
go.
I could be wrong. I'd say
this is ridiculous.
I'd probably say he's about 81.
No, he's 76.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't.
Not bad.
Not bad. Yeah, so
it could have been worse, but still.
What's that done? Sorry, Nicky, if you're listening. What's that done to the scores?
Paul is 5 out. Mm. Max is 15 out.
Nicky
could
Chin.
Be critical. Paul. Could be. 33, Max 45. There's 12 in it, 12, one yeah. to go.
Okay.
And that's Paul's best friend who he's having dinner with tonight.
Yeah, 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 here we go.
Very, very happy birthday to the theologian. It's easy for me to say. Professor Morna Hooker.
Be careful. And,
yes, I don't know if you heard her on Breakfast with Alan the other day. And a very good morning to the theologian, Morna Hooker. Morning, Morna!
Yes,
what about Bob's health now?
Yeah, Bob's health.
What about Bob's health now?
There we are. I wouldn't know. What theologian, Morna Hooker. Wow, that's a toughie. Do you know her, Max? Was she...
One of my favourite theologians.
Did you ever meet her in halls? Did you ever kind of... Did she never taught you or anything? You didn't do theology, did you?
No, I didn't do theology. No, modern history.
No one, you know, godless as you would cheat like that. No. So I'd say Morna Hooker, God, blimey, 86. Go on, Max, go for it. This could be the moment.
I'm going to go lower. I just need to do the maths now. How many out am I?
12.
So I need to go 76, 73, don't I, to win. Is that right? 73.
Could have a Sean Pollock situation on our hands, couldn't we?
73. Well, that's a very interesting guess because, unfortunately, Professor Morna Hooker is 90.
What's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Morna Hooker, she looks so young.
She did, yeah.
I was convinced I'd got it, but hey, well done, Paul. Final. How you've done that with Morna Hooker. She could have been 50.
37 to Paul, 62 to Max.
I don't think that reflects the game.
No, it was a brilliant game. Doesn't. Brilliant low-scoring game. Until the last two or three rounds.
Going to have to take it on the chin, Max.
Oh, okay. All right, mate. All right. They didn't deserve that, you two.
18-2 to Paul in the standings.
Well, what a game.
Three direct hits in the first four.
Yeah, that was brilliant. That was good game. Yeah.
God.
And then you forgot the other ones you tried to remember.
I see.
Thank you, boys. Thank you, Jeff. Disgrace. Speak to you next week.
Cheers, guys.
Andy, see you tomorrow. Thank you very much. Yeah, there we are. Cheers.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. What a birthday spread, Max, that was.
I think the final score...
It didn't really sum up the game, did it?
I don't think it did. I think... But Nicky Chin, you know, the issue is you know more people.
Yeah,
and there's nothing we can't get away with. That
is always going to help me, isn't it?
It really is always. It's such an important part.
They were a famous songwriting duo of the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, you see, I wasn't alive.
And then there's a picture of him here that Jeff Peters has sent saying, chin up, Max. Well, see, it's never going to stop, is it? It's just too handy for puns.
Seems unkind.
Anyway, you'll live to fight another day.
Well, I hope so, you know. But anyway, thanks for having me, everybody.
I'll see you. You're back on Tuesday, but you're here on...
Saturday with Charlie. And Sunday with Barry.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, if you can listen tomorrow for me and Andy, great. If not, the podcast will be available around 5. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.